We are the best artist
and manager podcast ever. I'm Charlotte, artist manager.
I'm Jasmine, aka Tala, music producer and artist.
And we're the co-founders of Elevate,
making the music industry easier. Hello there.
Hey girl,
how are you doing?
I am good. I'm going to take the lead today. What's your good thing of the week?
Oh, good thing that's happened this week. Let me think. So I've got to say I have been getting some really fun projects finished, which I'm really excited about. Got a couple tracks with my friend Jazz that we're just finishing up and they sound so amazing. Wait, what's your face expression? Did you not
remember? You just released your song.
I've just released my song, but this is so typical of me. I'm really like thinking about all the other projects that are coming and I just like not even like talking like, about the one that's actually
your single.
Your face was so funny. And I was like, what? Like, did I not tell you? Anyway, then she, I've got my song that's just come out called Freedom, which I feel really happy to release because it's the first off this project that I've been working and finishing for a long time.
Yes.
And it feels so nice to just like put something out that actually feels like meaningful and connected to me. Like,
yes.
It's almost just a freeing feeling. Like, I just really love the project and I'm just excited to share it. So it's just awesome. A really good thing.
Yay.
And also just, I'm really excited about the stuff I'm working on. Like, I've just got really some cool songs for other people that I'm finishing. It's just very fun.
Yay.
It's been really fun.
Yay. I'm also excited that like one of your songs that you wrote like 10 years ago is being recorded by...
Right.
An artist that we're working, that Elevate is working
at
with.
Elevate, which is so cool.
Yeah, an Elevate artist is recording a Tala track.
To be honest, I've always loved that song and I just Same. Felt like it deserved a place. It was kind of really ahead of its time.
Yes.
And
it's so good.
I wrote it with my girl Mayday, who is an incredible artist and writer.
Yeah.
And I just... It's such a fun song. So I'm really excited.
I'm really excited.
I know. That's really fun. It's got a real fresh spin.
Yes.
Our friend Justin, who's also done some production on it. Sounds
friend of the fam. Boost.
It sounds amazing.
Yes.
Sounds really fun.
All good. Love that.
So topic today
Yes. is? The topic today is stuff that goes wrong and why it's a good thing. So when, I guess, like oftentimes in the music industry...
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, we feel like our dreams are coming true and they don't work out the way we wanted. Or, I don't know, just stuff goes wrong and it feels like it's the end of the world. And I feel like that often happens.
Like, what do we learn from it?
And what do we learn from it? What do we take from it? And, yeah, I thought we could just talk about that stuff today.
Like we often talk about how the mistakes you make, even in business, they are really important because you will never get good at what you're doing unless you make the mistakes because you have to learn from the mistakes, right? 100%. So, I actually had one to talk about, actually. I think this is really common for not just artists, but probably early stage businesses as well. And anyone that's just building anything, right? But it's like outsourcing too quickly. And like, let me explain like what I mean by it. But okay, so from my personal experience, when I went into like a major label system, from being like indie, like bedroom artist, producer, like doing everything DIY, like myself, and like having a little collective of friends that maybe get involved and collaborate and do little bits with me. Yeah. But actually the majority of it, I'm like really having hands-on vision on. And yeah, maybe it doesn't allow me to put all the energy that I need to in my music, but at the same time, it's giving it like a real strong aesthetic, sound, like everything. There's a reason why that was working and why that like then got me noticed and the attention that I got and did so well to even be in that situation with the record deal, right?
Yeah.
Now, the interesting thing is going into that system, it was suddenly like, right, well, now you're in this. We're going to give you this person who's going to handle this area of your marketing. And we're going to give you this person who's going to do your PR. And then we're going to have this person who's going to do this. And this is your social person. And like, I know it's changed a lot now. I know that generally like the majors are working in different ways to what they were when I signed.
It's any better.
It's not probably any better.
I remember the first day that we had a marketing meeting at the label And like we walked in, it was like 20 people around the table. So and I was like, oh my God, like, what are we going to do with all these people?
Like, it was like, it was mental. It was also really weird that I was there because like they were all talking about me and I was just like, this is like, I'm like a product.
Yes.
They're like, where do we place her? Anyway, my point was that area of things too soon, too early can actually cause a lot of things that I felt like were mistakes because suddenly it's like, okay, you know, I'm not handling, like I hear that we're making a website. Okay. Yeah. I don't even really know much about it. It was just like, we're doing this website. It's going to be ready in like a few weeks. And I'm like, okay, so we need a website. Okay, cool. And who are the people that are doing the website? Oh, we had this thing. It's these people. We work with them all the time. They've done. You're like, okay, cool. Like, I didn't really like authorize this, but I guess it's happening, right? Mm-hmm. Website gets made. We're like, what the hell is this? It looks like a shitty restaurant website. Like, this isn't like a music artist website. I'm like, this looks like it was awful. Like, I was like, I could have got like one of my friends to make it and it would have been better, right?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Like, you start to realize like there's all this like outsourcing going on because that's just what happens. That feels nice at first because you're like, oh, I'd have to think about that.
Yeah.
But then it can take it away from what your vision is.
Yes.
Because that website we never ended up using. No, that was like $5,000 down the drain hole. Yeah, it was wasted. $5,000. It actually cost $5,000.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, being like, that $5,000 could have been you. This is my business mind is like this though. Like, I can't, like, I will be obsessed with that $5,000 now and be like, do you know what we could have done with that $5,000? Like, I could have literally got someone to build me a website for £500. We would have had $4,500 left there that we could have put into something else.
Yeah.
And that is the thing, but you learn, right? Because you're like,
and I think like so often, like, especially with like artists that come into us with like Elevate and they're like, you know, I really want a team around me. I really want help. And it's like, I think like what I try and do and like how we try and lead things with Elevate is like keeping the power, keeping the control within artists' hands for as long as possible because I've seen that. Obviously, I know what that experience like was with you on the major, and I've seen other situations that similar. And it's like, you are the source, you're the magic, like your vision, your like fingerprints being on everything. That's what makes it special. And the problem is when you start bringing in other people and it starts like you start having all these other people like taking over stuff, like you become like further distanced from the project and less of you is in it
fully.
And like, and I understand, like, you know, I get it with social media. Like, even back then, like, we all we had was like Instagram and Facebook. Like, it was pretty minimal, like, compared in terms of like social media Twitter compared to now. Twitter. But it's like, now, like, I get it, like, there's so much to do with social media and everything, but it's like the closer you are to it, the better. And I see so many artists that, well, these like these companies popping up that like will take over your social media and they'll tell you what to post and they'll like create the post for you and stuff. And it's like, I get why that's attractive, but A, they're quite expensive, and B, like, you're not then close to your fans. And so it's like, you need to know what's going on with your fans and what they like. And like, to your point, with like the website, it's like, you knew what like was cool in your world for people that like, your fans are like you, and what you think is cool, they're going to think is cool. And so like, you needed to be closer to that. And the problem is going into like, when you start bringing in teams, it's not like a mistake, but it's just like being really conscious that when you do start building teams, and you do make certain decisions that bring in other people, like you say, like outsourcing certain things, you're not close to it anymore. You're less close.
It takes it out of your world a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we had that with quite a few things where it would even be like press shots or something.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And they just go, it just got out of hand because it was like,
this we did like a £10,000 press shoot with arguably like a really great photographer. Yeah. Like, I love her. I think she's an incredible photographer. But like, we ended up using the shot that I took of you outside the studio.
Yeah, because they were
still like one of the most banging shots of ever taken. If I can say so myself.
It's true, but it just got a bit too like far away from what
the vision is. Was. Yeah. Yeah,
and I think that is
Because of the drive to make it pop.
It's the
commercial and pop.
But that's the thing of like going too early on that move as well. Like to make it, there's a pressure that this needs to be like.
Yeah. And I was talking to an Elevate artist the other day about saying, because like of this like wanting to become pop and mainstream and like wanting to like make it big and like getting and then feeling really frustrated that it's not happened or that it's taking too long. And I'm like, it has to take as long as it takes because you need to climb the ladder. you have to like go through all the steps to get there for it to have longevity. And if you try and skip some of those middle steps, I think it can just completely crumble really quickly. And so because you've got to like, I don't know. It's got to be built in your vision. And I think sometimes if you're trying to go pop too quickly, you end up sacrificing a lot of your vision for like what is what the powers that be want it to be.
Fully. Yeah. And then I think you end up basically trying to redo all the things that you created in the beginning that were great.
Yeah.
And that
finding the source.
That was like a real learning curve for me.
Yeah.
And I've taken it with me, I think, in the idea of business now.
Yeah.
Like even when we're talking about Elevate, or when we sort of plot over the business plan and strategy and like what we can do to like, I know we've had conversations about it, about outsourcing certain things and when the time is right, but also like knowing that like actually even if we have to hold on with us basically doing this stuff for quite a long time, like even like, okay, just talking about the podcast, right? We can talk about this. Charlotte and I, you know, we're talking about like, listen, we're really enjoying this. What is, you know, at some point, because I'm basically doing the editing and recording of it, like that's great because I can do it pretty easy, but like eventually we might want to outsource that. And even that, it's like in my brain, I'm like, right, well, when that is the right time, because again, doing that too soon, that can be actually a fail of a move. It can actually,
like, could make it like not viable to do.
Even if it does take me longer and stuff to do it, and it's a bit of a pain, whatever, we're still kind of, it's doable, and we can stay on top of it.
Yes.
You know, so
I agree.
That was one of the things that I've learned that was a mistake. Anyway, how about you?
I think one of my early failings was sometimes I think I have, when I've worked with artists and managed artists, done stuff or agreed to stuff or facilitated stuff because they wanted to do it, even though it was against my better judgment. And I think sometimes my gut has told me one thing, but to like keep the artist happy, I've like done what they wanted.
Is there like anything, like an example, even with, like with me, because then you could talk about it, like where you feel like that's happened? So I'm putting you on the spot a bit.
I think probably your live show. I mean, I wasn't necessarily like involved in it from the very beginning, but I think your live show was probably like one where like that got away from all of us a little bit, because your live show was so technical. And it was so technical. And I think, like, kind of going back to my previous episode about misogyny in the music industry, I think, like, there was a massive desire to prove on stage that you were really technical and that you were, like, a producer that could do everything. Yeah. And, like, and to prove yourself that you were, like, you know, and I think, like, you know, the guys that are involved in that, like, with, you know, all the other, you know, managers and every, you know, the team that we had at the time, like, were all kind of part of that as well. That the vision was that we, like, show Tala is, like, all singing, all dancing. She does everything. And then it made the show so technical. And I remember walking into the rehearsals on that first day, and I was like, this is going to be so hard to run. Because the artist I'd just been working with was tricky, and it was a bit more of a band setup. It was less electronic, but just knowing like the labor involved of like the setup of that show. And I've just come off of like doing quite a lot of touring with him, and knowing how much everything cost, knowing like the logistics involved, I was looking at this like, oh God, this feels really big and like really technical. And it really scared me. And I should have said something then and there. I should have. But I felt like, oh God, I'm new here. Like I it's not really my place to. And I think that like, kind of, it was just coming like your setup was coming from a total place of like, we want to make a spectacular show. And obviously you just signed to a major. Like, I think there's a lot of pressure on artists to be like, I've signed to a major, so now it needs to like, everything needs to level up, and it needs to be this new, it needs to be like, worthy of all of that kind of going on. And I think that like that was, I think it was really difficult. I think it's really difficult for acts in like your genre where it's electronic and it's production led and all of that, like finding the right balance of stuff. I think that's really hard.
I always remember like thinking, because we used to talk a lot about like Disclosure at the time, and I think it was obviously like that period of time when Disclosure, you know, were like, was their like peak, right? It was like after Latch, and they dropped their album, and like, anyway, that was a very similar kind of circles and worlds, right, that we moved in, like same MD, same, we had a few people, and, you know, also managers knew them very well, and that kind of stuff, right? So there was a lot of that, like, comparing of their set. I mean, my set was nothing like Disclosure's, but I remember going to a Disclosure show and being amazed, because I was like, this is so simplistic, but it looks so interesting, even though it's so minimal.
Yeah.
And it just really worked with it being electronic as well. Like, the visual work, like, there is enough going on that we see them doing something that is live.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, I could, after knowing my show so well, I was like, this is not that hard to run this. Mm. Like, if they have to, like, mint downsize this for a gig because it can't be, this is fine. If they need to level it up, they could bring in people.
Yeah,
or they
it's
could
very
bring
versatile.
In, it's very, like, this is easy to, like, manage, right? Yeah. The problem with my setup was, we've already thrown the kitchen sink in.
Yeah, it was everything.
From day one. So then, like, you can't peel back as well.
Yeah.
And so it was like, okay, now we've got to do a minimal, very minimal, like...
It just made it really difficult to travel with. Really? And especially for, like, festival stages. Yeah. The problem is like, when... the problem is, we were building that show for your headline, London headline, where you have complete control of the situation. We got into the venue early. You could have as long a sound check as you want because we didn't have a warm-up act. Like... we could have complete control of that situation. The minute you take that on the road, especially in festival setups where you, like, you know, you only have a line check, you don't even have a full sound check. Like, it was just like, it was so hard. Like, the rigging, the stuff that we had to take with us on, like, an EasyJet flight was so heavy. It was massive.
Yeah.
And it was just, like, so expensive to transport and so volatile.
Yeah.
It was a lot of, like, output that was coming through.
I also just felt like I wasn't in charge. Like, I didn't understand all of the stuff that we were doing for the live setup. And now, in hindsight, but I was, you know,
it's an example of someone's having a vision for you.
Yeah. And again, outsourcing it and being like, let's bring in so and so just to fix it. Just make it happen.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, I feel like I should have designed it in a way that I understood it, even if it was super basic. Do you know what I mean? Like, I get the reason to be making it super, like, technical and super, everything is, like, you know, exactly how you'd envision it. But the labor and intensity of setting that up, like, I couldn't have done it. You had to be an expert to set that up to that degree that we had it.
Yeah.
So much MIDI triggering, things turning on, turning off. Like, I go to that mic, that would have taken me so long to do, right?
Yeah.
And it was just like, I don't know. Now when I think of it, I'm like, it would have been cool that it could have built to that, but we shouldn't have started like that. It should have started like four things. Max.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. And that's it.
100%.
And then, you know, once you get to the bigger shows or whatever, then you're like, hey, now we start bringing in all the, like, crazy eye candy. We need a drummer. Then we throw a drummer in there. You know what I mean? I feel like... I just feel, again, like that was one that got away from me, and we sort of created a bit of a monster.
Yeah, it was really hard.
it was impossible to feed. We were like, we can't keep feeding this thing.
It just was so difficult. Like, it was just so difficult to travel with.
And then the problem is, once you've done it like that, to go
people
down,
people expect
expect it like that. So when you go back, so you go down to like two or three elements, and it, like, now looks like quite lackluster. A dead show.
I agree.
So attempting to put, like, I often think about it and I'm like, how I will redo it on the next one will be so different. You know what I mean? Any other thoughts on this topic, though, things we've learned from? Because, like, on that, just as we're wrapping up.
I think that actually the topic of this podcast really is, like, learning to, like, build brick by brick instead of jumping the gun. Because it's even, like, with Elevate, so to give everyone history, basically, I was working at AWOL. I was obviously managing you, and I had another management client. After having Cassius, I peeled back management, and I was just managing you because you're just there forever.
She loves me that much.
And I was working at AWOL, but I knew I was going to get made redundant from AWOL at that point, and because of the Sony acquisition. And I was like, okay, I want to do something else. And we were kind of like, we want to do something together. And that turned out to be this thing called Eleven, which was like a platform that we were trying to build, and it was in the sort of fandom space. And we were building it and, like, spent quite a lot of money on trying to build the vision for what that was, like, off the bat. And actually, like, we didn't have the skills to build it because it was really technical again. And we haven't learned the lesson, obviously. It was really technical. But I was like, but it's the vision. And there are other people that do this. There are like men that are able to like have an idea and then they go and raise money off of like, you know, like a fucking one page deck. And then they go and like raise 10 million and then they go and build, they hire the people to build it. So why can't we do that? And I found that like incredibly frustrating that we couldn't do that. But obviously like during that time of like trying to build that thing, and I like, spent so much money, wasted so much money. Oh my God. But you know, such is life. You can always make more money. But then we like came back to the, like the brick by brick method of being like, well, what do we know and what do we love and what can we build? And literally like that thing of like with Elevate was like, you know, one January, you, me and Ray sitting down having a chat and being like, okay, like I was like, guys, whatever we make next, like we'd killed Eleven. Like whatever we make next, guys, it's got to make money immediately. Like, I don't care what it is, but it's got to like be something that we can build and put out and like make money immediately because I'm brass. And like that's where Elevate came from, and it came from all the learning that we'd done over the previous year, and it was just like we put together something super janky. Like it was just the idea of like what we cared about, what we loved, what we felt really passionate about, and it wasn't over ambitious, and it wasn't like, oh my God, we need to raise 10 million to do this. It was like literally put this together, like the jankiest version of it, and let's just see if people like it.
The interesting thing is with the actual concept of Elevate is that was already so close to us.
We were
already doing the job of Elevate, like ourselves. Like, you know how you and I have just always connected people?
Yeah.
We'll always just help a friend. We'll always help someone in the industry to like get to A to B.
We're just
doing it anyway.
Yeah.
And so when we were actually like, when, you know, you and Rafe actually came up with the first idea of it, I was like, oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
It was like, what we were already doing. And like, I'd been having all these conversations of artists in the previous year, and it was like, oh my God, this is so obviously what we should be doing, because this is actually what we love, and we know this so well. And so it's like, yeah, like just like not jumping the gun, like I always say to artists that like, you need to have a vision of where you're going. You want to have your North Star. You want to have like the full realized vision of like, if money were no object and everything went right, like what would this be? Have that vision and really like have a vivid understanding of what that vision is going to be. Because I think the more vivid and more like detailed that is, like the better, because it keeps you really motivated. But then you knowing that like step by step, you have to get there brick by brick, and you can't like jump over things.
No, you can't.
And you can't, and you have to like build it. You have to build the community around it. You have to build the fandom, the audience, the whatever. All the sorry for you, kind of like, what, you were telling me to shut up? Your hand gesture was like really aggressive.
No, honestly, you guys can't see us right now. I'm stepping forward.
but yes, I think like all the mistakes I feel like I've made on the journey, and I'm still learning it, is just like where I've got. Maybe that's because we were ADHD and we were a bit impulsive. But like,
definitely. But I would say also, what I would say is these mistakes are there for a reason.
Yeah.
This is where I'm coming with my sort of like, you can call it woo woo. I call it more like, actually, it's a belief system. But
yes.
I think that the reason is that we have these mistakes is because we cannot get to the what we envision for ourselves as like, this is what I'm trying to create, a career or a company or a business or whatever it is. You can't get to actually having that thing unless you make the mistakes, because you've got to make the mistakes to firstly be able to level up to the point that you're able to actually do the thing you're trying to create
and to learn.
Because if we, there's just, in the history of everything, you rarely hear, I don't think there's anyone that will just tell you, I just did the thing and it just worked straight away.
No.
And there was no mistake. There was no failing.
No,
there was nothing.
No. Yeah, you have to.
And you know what I've noticed as well?
Yeah.
It's mostly super, super successful ones.
Yeah.
There were so many what we would call failures before, but actually they're not failures.
No, they're not failures. And I think that this is like, again, like a bit of a thing, but like just general, it's not like music specifically, but I think in the UK specifically, you get like one shot, and then if you fail at the one shot, it's like, oh, better go and get a proper job now. Whereas in like, I feel like in America, like obviously there's so much wrong with America right now, but here advocating for America.
It's entrepreneurial, and
there's no real such thing as failure. And if you have something that doesn't work out, it's like, cool, what's your next thing? Whereas in the UK, it's like, Let's get a real job.
Let's look at some artists, right, as well, right? There's a lot of artists that we know of, like, you know, who've had, like, quite long careers prior to actually becoming the big thing.
Yeah, right.
And again, like, their story could have been seen as a failure.
Yeah.
Because you could be like, oh, they were just kind of like,
Ray is such a good example of this.
She is. And you know what? None of it, this is part of her journey, right? Yeah. But what I'm saying is, it's so easy. Like, if she hadn't become the international star she's become now, which, you know, is well deserved, right? Yeah. Could that be foreseen by someone as like, well, you know, it didn't really happen?
Yeah.
You know, what I'm saying is like, that's part of her journey.
Yeah.
There's a reason why she had to put in all those years. There's a reason why she probably had to do the graft. And I'm sure I heard that she'd had a failed record deal or something.
She got stuck in her record deal and she wasn't allowed out.
There you go. Now I remember it. So all those things, they're all part of you realizing the actual vision of what, like, you want to do. She probably is a different artist to who she was back then.
So many artists that are successful have been dropped, everybody's been dropped at some point or another.
I remember, like, meeting Katy Perry and her saying to me, one of the things she said was, because it was my first record deal, and she was like, had many of those, there's a lot of them before you, you know,
you get your,
and it's true, like, it's not just like one record deal and you're in, you know. It's not for the faint-hearted, it just isn't. But it's the same, I think, that applies to the entrepreneur, the business owner, you are doing this off your own back. You're doing it yourself.
Often in like uncharted territory.
Often uncharted territory. And it's very unlikely that you're just going to hit gold from the first thing.
Yeah.
And the difference between you and the next person is that if you keep persevering, you keep learning and you keep coming back better.
Yeah.
Like, that's the difference. That is actually the difference, because people give up too soon. That's what I will say. People give up.
I say to so many artists, it was like, to be honest, like, the ones that make it, like, it's not because they're the most talented. They're just the ones that, like, stuck at this, like, the longest. They just kept going. And that's, like, it's so true. Like, you have to just keep going. Like, because when I'm talking to artists and stuff, it's like, you have to, in this industry in particular, you have to want this so badly. You have to want it more than anything, that you will just keep going.
You have to love it.
Yeah. You'll keep going. And, like, that, it can be so hard sometimes. Like, there's been times when I'm like, oh my God, like there's definitely times, because, like, I studied to be a lawyer and, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe I'll just go back and be a lawyer. And it's like, no, because, like, the thing that I'm doing, like, my mission is just so strong that I can never... Your eyebrow's going, it's so jokes.
My eyebrow always goes when I'm starting to think. It's like,
an idea. But it's like, but I can't, like, for me, it's, like, not even an option to go back into, like, the normal life.
But the thing is, though, what's funny is, like, that's just not... It clearly was not your path. Like, even though it was your journey at some point to get you to where you are now.
Yeah.
But, like, it just clearly wasn't. And, like, you could have taken that path.
So my dad will say my biggest failure was. My biggest failure, not becoming a lawyer.
But it's funny, though, because that path, right? Like, you just don't know. But if you took that path, you may have just, like...
I didn't want to be a lawyer.
You didn't want to. So, like, it took you down a different path.
Yeah. And I just think, like, the thing of, like, brushing yourself off, like, the people that make it, like, you only ever hear the headlines. And I always say, my favourite thing is that no one ever made a movie about the person that just got everything they wanted the first time. That is a shit movie. That is a rubbish movie. The best movies are where, like, you know, they were inches away from the thing they wanted, then it got taken away from them.
They almost lost everything.
And then they picked themselves back up. Like, that's a good movie. And so it's like, if you want to have a life that is epic and your life to be like a movie, then you have to, like, take the good with the bad and everything, and, like, learn, like you say, learn from the failures. Take the shots. Don't be afraid of failures and then learn from them, but, like, definitely take
and
the shots.
Let's not even label them failures anymore.
Yeah.
Let's just label them as, like,
adventures.
Adventures. Tries.
Experiments.
Yeah, experiments.
Yeah.
Because it's this connotation that you failed. And it's like, really? Is it a failure, though? Because what did that failure lead you on to? Yeah. It could have led you on to your best thing after that. And it wouldn't have happened.
I've been speaking recently to an artist that got dropped from a label recently, like a major. Yeah. And it's like, for them, like, they had a vision of, like, when they signed, your career goes from there and everything follows, like, the plan, the XYZ, like, the dots all join up together and you just sign with the label and then that's it. Like, everything rolls from there. And it just doesn't happen like that. Like, you know, major labels, as much as there are like really talented people there, like there are very obvious shortcomings that happen in labels, it's really difficult to navigate.
Such, you know, a small percentage,
yeah,
that actually
out of 10 artists, one makes it. Yeah. Like, it's so difficult. And so, like, it's not like when you sign to the major, like, that's when the work begins. It's a whole different beast. It's a whole different level. It's a whole different type of work that you have to move with. And sometimes you're like cut out for it, and sometimes you work within it, and sometimes you don't, and that's totally fine. But it's not the end, and we have to just keep, like, you know, like I always say, like you know, someone shuts a door on you, just find like another opening. You have to find your next route through. You have to keep going forward. You always find finding a way forward. And like, if you're ever experiencing as an artist or someone that's like experiencing like where you thought everything had like kind of all your dreams had come true, it's like that wasn't the dream, like that wasn't the right place for you. If they couldn't help you and they weren't the right team for you, because and they didn't get the vision, or they weren't aligned with you, then they weren't aligned with you. It wasn't the right place for you, and you go and find somewhere else that is the right place for you. And maybe you have to take a couple steps backwards to go forward again, but you have to find your place.
I totally agree, and I mean, that's a really great note for us to leave that.
Yay!
So thank you for listening, and we will be back
in a couple of weeks.
See ya. Thank you for listening to the best artist and manager podcast ever.
If you like what you heard, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe.
If you want to know more about what we do at Elevate, you can find all the links in the show notes below.
See you again next time.